Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here today. And this Memorial Day weekend, this hot Memorial Day weekend, you know, it's we've been a little spoiled the last few years. It hasn't gotten very hot, but it's going to start out hot early this year, right? So, anyway, we're in 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. And the title of the message is, Why Is This Happening to Me? And I must have put it wrong because it's not why is the happening to me, why is this happening to me? But anyway. And so it's from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when he is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. The Eastern religious idea of karma has seemed to sweep our nation in the past few years. If something good happens to someone, many think karma has happened, that whatever happened good to them, but it's because they did something good somewhere back in time. If something bad happens to someone else, especially a person we don't like or agree with, many times we say karma caught up with them. It's a little bit akin to the Bible, the biblical idea of reaping what you're sowing, but it's way blown out of proportion, and it's not truly a biblical idea the way it's presented in our culture. For example, if something bad happens to me or to someone I love, we don't think of karma. Our first reaction as we begin to go through difficult things is, why is this happening to me? We somehow believe that we should be spared for some reason. We shouldn't have to go through difficult times. I think partly it's a misunderstanding of why is this happening to me, as if we should be spared from difficult times. I think maybe we should ask ourselves if we understand our own sinfulness and what a stench that is to God, our own sinfulness. Why don't I go through bad things more often? Maybe we should seek to understand when we're going through good times, times of rejoicing and blessing, how great a God we serve who blesses a sinner like me. Suffering is a part of the fallen world we live in. And all of us in this life will have to suffer to a greater or a lesser degree. No one is immune from suffering. No one. Those who believe in Jesus will suffer in many of the same ways that those who do not believe in Jesus suffer. False teachers today teach sometimes, false teachers and preachers, that Christians somehow should never get sick or they have authority over all diseases. And the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does not teach us that. Christians will get cancer. Christians will get diseases. And God oftentimes will not heal them in this life. Christian families will have tragedies like other families. From time to time, Christians will suffer at the hands of evildoers like everyone else. The difference between believers and unbelievers in that normal kind of suffering is that we have the Holy Spirit to strengthen, comfort, and guide us during those times. And the difference is that God, we believe God will work everything out to the ultimate good for those who believe in him, for his glory. Even when we have no understanding how that will happen, we know that for the believer, God will work everything out for his glory, even the bad stuff, the suffering that happens in our life. There's another kind of suffering that's unique to those who believe, and that's the suffering that comes to us because we name the name of Jesus and we follow him. Now, I'm not saying that people of other faiths and religions are not persecuted, because they are. There are people of different religions and faith that are persecuted around the world. They suffer from the hands of others for their religious beliefs. They're not Christians, but they do suffer for their religious beliefs. We've seen this in many places in the world, and I believe Christians should speak up for anyone who suffers for their religious faith. Even if we think they're wrong, if they suffer for their religious faith, we should speak up for them, because we do believe that the Bible wants us to have a freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, to practice your religion, even if we don't agree with that religion. If I want to worship as a Christian freely, I got to seek that for everyone else. That's part of what happens, and we remember on a day like Memorial Day, that men and women have died so that we could live in freedom. However, I do the persecution of other religions does not seem to be on the scale that those who believe in Jesus are being persecuted at. And I know this, only Christians suffer because they name the name of Jesus. Now, one of the themes of 1 Peter is dealing with suffering. In the passage we read this morning, Peter informs the believers of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, and us throughout history of this timeless truth, that believers choose rejoicing today in suffering, knowing that they will rejoice exuberantly when Jesus' glory is revealed. Believers choose rejoicing today in suffering, knowing that they will rejoice exuberantly when Jesus' glory is revealed. Now, there's a couple of things we should take out of this passage that will help us face the sufferings of life, or the suffering that might come upon us because we name the name of Jesus. First of all, suffering causes us to be aware of the powerful presence of God. Suffering causes us to be aware of the powerful presence of God. Now, Peter tells these Christians, these beloved Christians, not to be surprised at the suffering that was happening to them and in their midst at the present time, or the suffering that might come to them. Now, why did he tell them this, to not be surprised? Because most of us do think that serving God and doing right will not bring suffering. I think that's kind of naturally. There's something in our human nature that does not expect suffering when we're trying to follow the Lord. Peter says, don't be surprised at this suffering, because at one time, Peter was surprised. When Jesus first told Peter that he would suffer and be killed and rise from the dead, the scripture says Peter took Jesus aside and he rebuked Jesus, like Jesus was wrong. And even after Jesus told him time and again, when he was walking physically with his apostles, that he was going to be arrested and tried and mocked and crucified and rise again, when it happened, Peter was stunned. He was stunned. He never expected it to happen. He was surprised when the fiery trial came. He could not comprehend that that was the way it's going to be. I believe oftentimes as believers, we don't comprehend that following Jesus often entails suffering. And so Peter tells them, don't think it's something strange has happened to you when fiery trials, and the word there is very graphic. It's burning trials. Don't be surprised when these come upon you. Don't be surprised. Now, if they're not to be surprised, then how are they to respond? They are to rejoice insofar as they share in Christ's sufferings. Rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings. If you suffer because you name the name of Jesus, you need to choose to rejoice. Peter and the other apostles chose that when they were beaten in Acts chapter 5. It says they counted it a privilege that they were considered worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. Paul and Silas, were arrested in Philippi, and they were beaten and put in stocks. And then it says in Acts 16, at midnight, they sang hymns. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think at first they felt like singing? Do you think they just felt like singing? I don't think they probably felt like singing. I think they consciously chose to praise God and sing in the midst of the persecution and humiliation. I think they chose that joy. They chose to praise God. And because they chose joy, God gave them a certain joy. Peter tells them to choose to rejoice in Jesus, not because it feels good if you're suffering or if you're persecuted, not because it feels good right now, but because you know that the suffering that you face in this life, especially suffering for the name of Jesus, you're going to have exuberant joy on that day. Because of it when Jesus is revealed. Think about the joy that you will experience if you know when you suffer you are faithful to Jesus during those fiery trials. Then Peter tells them if they're insulted for the name of Christ, they are blessed. And he says, why? Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. That special, tangible presence is upon those who suffer for the name of Jesus. John Stott tells in his commentary of a story of a Cuban believer named Armando Valadres. Armando Valadres spent 22 years in prison in Castro's regime in Cuba. He tells him how he came to his faith in Jesus. As Christians would be jailed and executed for following Jesus, they would cry out as they were executed, long live Christ the King, down with communism. Armando Valadres said this awakened him to new life. He said the cries became such a potent and stirring symbol that by 1963, the men condemned to death were gagged before being carried down to be shot because the jailers feared the shouts. Peter goes on to say that none of them should suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or a meddler. Now, sometimes Christians claim they suffer for Christ, but sometimes they just suffer because they did bad things, evil things, jerky things. You know, I know a lot of Christians that would say they're persecuted at work and then find out they weren't doing their work when they're supposed to work. Maybe they were sitting around reading their Bible at work instead of working. Now, that's not persecution because you name the name of Jesus. That's persecution because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing when you're supposed to be doing it. So he says, don't suffer for being a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. I also think Peter is kind of telling these believers, don't retaliate in these evil ways when you're persecuted. You remember, just because someone wrongs you does not make it right to wrong them back. Christians do not pick up the sword to protect themselves from persecutions, so to speak. We don't return violence for violence, the scripture says. We don't return evil for evil. And so if we are being persecuted for our faith in Jesus, we're not to raise an army and go against those who persecute us. Basically, that's what he means. That's what the scripture says. He says, don't return wrong for wrong. Returning, just because someone wrongs you does not make it right to wrong them. Don't suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer. Now, these were actual crimes that they could be put to death under Roman law. But then he says, don't suffer as a meddler. And that last one is a puzzle to many people who study the scripture. It's a word that only Peter uses in the Bible, and it's not found in other Greek literature. It's a word I think he coined that basically means to be involved in the affairs of others. Now, some have translated the word embezzler like someone who has charge of someone's money and they're stealing it because they think the other crimes are serious, so this probably should be translated embezzler. Others, most like the ESV and most translations, translate the word meddler, someone who is simply sticking their nose in other people's business. And I think the reason that most use this to translate it, because sometimes we as Christians stick our nose into other people's business. We expect people who are not Christians to live Christian lives. And instead of sharing Christ with them, we often share our Christian values and morals, and we expect people that don't know Jesus to be able to live that way. And that's impossible. You see, people need Christ, and without Jesus, you can't live the way that a Christian should live. Only those born by the Spirit of God who have the Spirit of God living in them have the power to live the way that Christ wants us to live. And so oftentimes people feel judged and condemned by such Christians instead of seeing those believers as messengers of forgiveness, compassion, and love. Now, Peter reminds them again, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Now, do you realize the word Christian is only used 3 times in the New Testament? Only 3 times. And it's not meant as a compliment. They were first called Christians in Antioch. And that was not meant to be a compliment to these people. It was kind of a slam. Also, when Paul was preaching to Agrippa, he said, are you trying to persuade me to be a Christian? And you know, I think of this old, one of those old Bible movies, you know, and Nero or one of the Caesars is up there. I don't remember which one it is. But he says, you Christians. Well, that's basically what he's saying. If you suffer as a Christian, if people are mocking you because they think you are a Christian, you are someone trying to be like Jesus, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. If you suffer because you name the name of Christ, name the name of Jesus, don't be ashamed, but glorify God in that name. There are times when you will truly suffer and you will be mocked because you are a Christian. That will happen to you. That will happen to us as we are faithful to the Lord. God is near at those times. God is near. Don't beat yourself up at those times, but realize God is working through you and through unjust suffering to bring glory to His name. Don't be surprised at suffering. Because of Jesus, suffering causes us to be aware of the powerful presence of God. But there's another thing I think we can see in this passage of Scripture, and that's this. Suffering burns away everything in our life that does not glorify God. Now, Peter says in verse 12, that the fiery trial has come to test you. It comes to test you. Now, it's not a pass or fail test. It's not to see whether you make it or you don't make it. It's a purifying kind of test. It's a test that makes you more like Jesus. It shows the reality of your faith. It burns away everything in you and me that doesn't look like Jesus, that doesn't have an unselfish, glorifying God, a hope and attitude. The fiery trial, these difficulties, are like smelter that silver is burned in. So that just like silver in the smelter, everything that's not silver is burned away. These trials burn away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. Suffering of whatever kind that comes to you is used by God to make us more like Jesus. Whatever kind of suffering comes to you is used by God to make you more like Jesus. Now, faithfulness to Jesus does not mean you will suffer less. Sometimes because you are faithful, you will be tested more, and those tests will more conform you to the image of Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. When have you grown closer to Jesus and become more like Him? Is it when everything has gone well? Or is it when you go through rough and difficult times? Now, I know for me, I grow more when things aren't going well. I want to grow when things go well. I want to go when God is blessing me and there's tons of joy in my life. But sometimes complacency sets in, and I can grow satisfied, and I can begin to think I can handle whatever comes along. And then stuff comes along that I can't handle. When things seem out of control, when I face difficult or hard times, I am rarely complacent. I cry out to God more passionately and seek Him more fully. And so Peter says to them, it's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. You see, God is concerned with His children. He's working in our lives to make us more like Jesus. The things that cause others to despair, He will use for our good. Good does not come to everyone. It doesn't come to everyone ultimately. But for those who believe in Jesus, we know all things work together for good to those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Whom God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. You see, God's going to use it to your good, and He's going to use it to conform you to the image of Jesus. The difficult things that happen in life make believers more like Jesus. But those same things, not seen through the eyes of faith, can destroy. Yes, it is hard to be a believer. God is working to burn away all the stuff in you that doesn't look like Jesus. Judgment begins at God's house. And the suffering that purifies us is not easy to go through. But this same purifying fire for believers is ultimately an unquenchable judgment if you don't believe. Peter says, if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinner? We do go through hard stuff that makes us like Jesus and our faith is refined. It is not a mere question of whether we will be saved. It's just that following Jesus will lead every believer through hard things such as persecution and mockery and suffering and ridicule or even worse. But because we believe God is with us and we will endure it, we make it. We'll endure it and make it. If life is hard for us, then what about those who do not believe? What is the end for them? It's not good. If you think it's hard being a Christian, what's your alternative? Whatever it is, it's much harder, and you won't make it. Because Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one whose name is given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is hope and life. Now Peter tells them if they suffer according to the will of God, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator. We often think if we suffer or if we're persecuted, somehow God's not in control. You ever think that? God's not in control because bad stuff is happening to you. That's not true. If God allows suffering in our lives for whatever reason, especially for the name of Jesus, He's going to bring good for us and glory to Himself. And so Peter says, entrust yourself to this good Creator God. Trust Him with your life, whatever you are going through. The word entrust here is the word Jesus used on the cross. When Jesus says, Father, into your hand I commit, I entrust my spirit. Jesus entrusted Himself to the Father as He died. He entrusted Himself to this faithful Creator as He died for our sins. And Peter tells us that we should consciously entrust our souls to this faithful creator. We can and we should trust him, and we must. We must. And he wants us to, and we have to choose that. Someone said suffering will either make you bitter or better. What's it doing in your life? What does it do in your life? As a believer, if you'll entrust all you go through to God, he'll use it to make you better, more like Jesus, and able to rejoice now because you know in eternity, you will have exuberant joy. Now, some things, I want to tell you this, some things will not make sense in this life. You know, I get tired of Christians trying to explain everything by misquoting Romans 8, 28 and 29. You might not understand why some things have happened to you or those you love in this life. You might not understand some of the evil and the tragedies that happen to God's people. But I want all of us need to know that ultimately God will use all our sufferings for our good, the good of all its people, and the glory of his name, and it's going to increase our joy forever, ultimately. Now, suffering's a part of this life, and it's also part of following Jesus. When we suffer for him and suffer well in whatever we go through in life, we can rejoice, and we can know that we are truly blessed. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you go through, at the sufferings that you that happened to you. Don't ask, why is this happening to me, as if you and I should be exempt from suffering. You know, we can actually have more understanding than Job and other biblical people because we have God's entire word. He's going to use it all for our good and his glory ultimately. It will all be used to further his kingdom and to glorify his name and for the good of his people. Suffering causes us to be aware of the powerful presence of God. Suffering burns away everything in our lives that does not glorify God. Believers choose rejoicing today in suffering, knowing they will rejoice exuberantly when Jesus' glory is revealed. Are you going through difficult times today? It might not be today, but you will, right? Entrust yourself to the God, the Creator God who loves you, who gave His Son to redeem you. Entrust yourself to Him and ask Him to work through those things to make you more like Jesus and to bring glory to yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and for your love and your grace. And Lord, I don't want to be flippant and I don't want to discount the sufferings that some people are going through that we know and love. Lord, some of them don't know how much you love them, and they don't know that their suffering can be turned to good. So God, use us to share the great love of God, the great gospel of Jesus with them, that they might have hope in their suffering and whatever they're going through. Lord, some of us may be going through really difficult times right now, and I ask you to just help us to rejoice and to trust that even though we don't know why we're going through what we're going through, we can trust you in it because you are a good God who loves us and who work all things out for our good and your glory. Father, help us, Lord, if we are called upon to suffer because we name the name of Jesus, help us to not be ashamed but to glory in that. Because to suffer shame for the name of Jesus is not shame at all. It is truly a blessing. We praise you. We ask you to draw people to yourself. We pray that anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, has never put their trust in you, does not know the God who will make everything work together for their good. I pray that today they'd believe in Jesus, the one who died for them and rose again, the one who will hold them fast if they will put their faith in him. I pray that today they'd trust Him. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.